College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Pay-per-view buys 255,000. What do you think about that?
Kevin was the booker at the time. I was with him as his assistant or whatever he needed. But we always hear the negatives about Kevin. He did a remarkable job when he took over.
What do you think about him as a booker overall? Do you think like you are, you know, definitely you like to book heat. You like to, you know, get a lot of the bad guys, quote unquote, the heels over. What would you kind of think of Kevin as a booker?
He had the same philosophy. And Kevin knew how to get heat. I heard some people say he didn't have that many moves, right? There's only been one guy selected to the Baseball Hall of Fame unanimously, and that's Rivera, right?
Yep.
He had one pitch.
True.
Yeah.
Kevin. And it's funny, Hogan didn't have a lot of moves either. He's, you know, he's one of the best.
Yeah. And Kevin, if he kept the job, and he would have grown into it magnificently. Kevin had so many outside ventures at the end. You know, he had movies and other things. So he didn't get fired. He went to them and said, I'm going to take a break, and I want Kevin to take over. But if this was Kevin's pay-per-view.
With him as a booker, what is he like relying on you for? Does he want you to kind of set him up, or are you just kind of going over the details after he lays out the show?
Him and I, you know, we became really close because he had me, he had Mike Graham, Bob Mole, and we would be in the office. Actually, Kevin got us out of the office into a hotel so we could get work done. And Kevin would ask me what I thought about things. He would ask Mike Graham for finishes. He surrounded him. Mike Graham was one of the greatest finish men in the business next to his father. So Kevin was smart on people he chose to bring in. And Kevin was very, very well liked in the dressing room backstage. Especially the Hispanic boys love Kevin. Kevin is a cool dude. Great guy to have. I told you this before. You can talk art to Kevin. You can talk sports to Kevin. You can talk wine, you know. I can't talk it on his level, but he can. He's just an all-around cowboy.
With him and him being so close to the boys, does that make it weird, like for the booker? I know you said you kind of like a player's coach yourself, but is that weird to be that close to the boys and be a booker?
For some people, it is very difficult. But for Kevin, first of all, Kevin's a, when he walks in the room, you know he's somebody. Kevin has this magnetic personality. And he got a lot out of guys because everybody wanted to work for Kevin because he made them feel good. I can remember when guys become back from the, excuse me, back under the curtain. And like Rey Mysterio, he walked by and Hoovy, he'd pat, give them both a pat like you do in football in the ass. And thumbs up, guys. He appreciated the guys' performances. He was very diplomatic in giving out finishes. If it was ever questioned, I gave a finish. I said, this is what Kevin wants if you want to talk to him. He's in his room. Go ahead. And 90% of them would say, well, okay, that's fine. And if they did go in there, it was just to tweak something. Maybe they wanted a little more time. And other than that, I never saw any problems that he had backstage.
Do you think he was a little intimidating, maybe, to some of the boys? I mean, he's a massive guy. Known as one of the toughest and strongest guys in the business, too. So was he intimidating, you think, at all?
Oh, I used to train with Kevin. And at my strongest, I squatted 800 pounds. Kevin was doing back work on Nautilus equipment with 750. I've never seen anybody come close to that. I could maybe do, and I'm talking about in my best, he was getting 405 is four plates. He would get 15 reps. I may get seven with 315. He was a really an imposing guy. And he never came across as a bully when he became the boss. And I think that had a lot to say about Kevin's character. I know some people think that maybe he held people down, but he really didn't, because it goes back to explaining, like they're probably doing right now, the WWE, explain why you're paying that guy so much money and they're not working that much. It's not in their contract. Well, because there's other guys that are better. And Kevin would try, when I say better, better paychecks. Kevin would explain it to them in the coldest and truest fact. Hey, I get a report why I'm doing this. And if I do it too often, my neck is on the line too. You're not going to lose your job. I can't remember anybody that was let go by Kevin unless their contract ran out and their contract negotiations failed.
What do you think were like his credentials to become a booker? What did he do as far as, I know, obviously be a world champion and be great athlete and everything, but what kind of made him want to be a booker or made Bischoff and yourself think he could be the booker?
Kevin had great ideas. They tried to kill Kevin off when he first got there, whether it was intentional or not intentional. I happen to have my own thoughts on it. And I'll keep them to myself. But they gave him Vinny Vegas, right? And yep, they had Diamond Dallas Page, who hadn't found himself yet, be his mouthpiece. Then they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on that backdrop for the disaster of Oz. They took a 7-foot guy who had just won Mr. Georgia, made his hair gray, put a cone on his head, and had me walk to the ring with a wizard mask on. And Janie Ingalls as Dorothy. I mean, Kevin had to dig himself out of a hole. And the other thing was, Kevin got to stand and watch outside the ring some of the greatest performers in the history of our business. He got to see Sean every night. He got to see Scott up close working with Sean. He got to see Austin. He got to see them all from ringside. And Kevin absorbed everything. Kevin absorbed everything. And he had such a personality. Everybody wanted to have a beer with Kevin. And he had a statement, it's true. Guys wanted to be like Kevin, and girls wanted to be with Kevin. So Kevin had it, but he overcame a lot of bad shit that I don't think I've ever seen anybody dig himself out of that kind of hole in my life.
Superstar, your superstar is the WWF champion. Biggest mistake that company ever made was not turning him babyface. People say to me, you know, who's the greatest champion? I can tell you this. I'll tell you this about all the champions I saw, whether I was a fan or in the business. The one that impressed me when he walked out of the dressing room was Bruno Sammartino. If I had landed here in this country and didn't know anything about wrestling, they said pick out the world heavyweight champion was Bruno. But for charisma, nobody had talked like Billy. I mean, Dusty stole it from Billy. You know, they were very close. They talked all the time. Bob Dylan, you know, he referenced Bob Dylan a lot. But superstar, there's that pose of superstar in the red long tights with his arm. His arm looks like it's 42 inches. You know what I'm talking about? And then that other one where he has the belt and he's ripped. He had won a Mr. America contest.
Yeah, he won Best Arms.
Yeah, and his interviews. And then what happened was the people were turning him. And for some reason, I'll tell you two reasons, I think. For some reason, Vince didn't think that turning him babyface would work. Yet he had turned babyface's heels. And had a lot, drew up money. You know, Zabisco and Bruno. Superstar, to me, nobody could ever rap like he did in that era. Nobody looked like him until Scott Steiner. And the people loved him. The reason why I think he didn't go with them was Vince wanted to get away from Jack Briscoe, had drawn a lot of money. He wanted to get away from the ethnic champion. Pedro and Bruno had the belt a long time between the both of them. And he saw what Briscoe could do, and he put Bob Backlund in that position. And he surrounded Bob with, you know, bull rope matches with Dusty Superstar, Jimmy Snooker, Don Morocco. I think Billy Graham could have been, at that time, bigger than Hogan was. You know, nobody was going nationwide yet, but Billy could have been. They did it in Miami. You know, he came down, wrestled Holly Race for an hour. You know, a lot of people don't understand that Billy could work too. You know, he got away with a lot of his pose and a lot of other things, but that was the time. I think
he liked being a babyface too, on top of that.
Yeah, and I think of all the mistakes I've ever seen, money-wise, that flew away, that was it.
Because he did have, he holds the record for most consecutive sellouts in Madison Square Garden, 19 out of 20. And the only one didn't sell out was against Peter Maivia, and that was only a little bit shy of selling out. So.
Yeah.
Would have definitely continued on. And working with him in Florida, any specific memories or stories from that?
Yeah, when we turned him babyface. I mean, you know, the famous thing where I go to slap the valet, and he grabs my hand. Well, when I threw that chair at him, you know, and he didn't even have to cut. I threw that chair out when we hung him up. Fonzie, who's the referee, we all know Fonzie, came and jumped on my back. He was so pissed. And he had started, you know, he had the bald head then, but he started to morph into the old superstar. And if you look back at those pictures when he's in the desert, you can see it's superstar, except he doesn't have the blonde hair anymore. I think that Hulk Hogan stole 80% of his stick from superstar Billy Graham.
Yeah, because Billy actually did the cupping of the year, too, and the shirt rip.
Yeah.
He just didn't do it every match.
Yeah, but, The brother. Yeah, Billy was a preacher, and he got into that, the brother, I think.
And he coined the term superstars, wrestlers, and now everyone's called superstars.
I never thought of that. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I always thought Billy was way ahead of his time, but there should have been a match. Just think of the poster, him versus Hogan, face to face. They wouldn't have.
But Hogan wouldn't have wanted it.
No, and I don't think he would want Billy around either.
No.
Because Billy looked like a bodybuilder. Hulk was muscular, but he was no bodybuilder. And Billy, I mean, he was an amazing, amazing specimen.
And Billy actually helped Hogan get started as well. helped him get booked, and he was one of the first wrestlers to talk to him, because you probably know about this, so I may as well ask you about this now. I guess you were probably around when Hogan was hanging out at the
Rocket matches. Lounge. Yeah, he used to play at the Rocket Lounge, guitar, and he came to the matches. And I think him and Billy struck up a friendship, because where Billy lived in Tampa, he lived in those apartments that was close to a very famous Smith gym. Harry Smith was Junior Mr. America in 1948, and Harry still he's 92 and he still looks like an athlete. And Hogan was hanging around Billy, and they became friends, and you know, I'm sure Billy was the one that said, bleach your hair blonde, and the rest is history.
And do you think it's sad that Billy isn't used by WWE, for instance, at NXT, helping people with promos, when he has such a great mind for the business and he's very creative, as he worked with him, but there's so much he could give, but unfortunately...
To me, the greatest interviewers I ever saw was King Curtis, and this is no direct number, King Curtis, Bartek Muggen, Dusty Rhodes, Superstar Billy Graham. Superstar could talk people into the building. And today, they have... Let me ask you this. You think Superstars, if they gave them a scripted interview, would be the same?
No.
That's what I think is lacking. I don't know if they want the guys to be so politically correct they're afraid they'll go off in a tangent or something, but Superstar enthralled me. I'll give you an example. I have family that had no interest in wrestling, but when he came, they had never seen a specimen like him, and they didn't even go to the matches, but they tuned in to see him talk. And I don't care how you get the asses in seats. That, to me, is a good worker. Guys can be the greatest workers technically, but if you don't put asses in seats, and you said he sold out 19 out of 20, that doesn't happen overnight. You know what I mean? And I'm sure that half the matches that he sold out, he was a stone heel. Then you start to see, by the time he got to PETA, he was the baby face, you know? And he was just... I could see how a guy could go in depression with this, that he's so talented that they don't use him. I don't know why. I mean, we're sitting here today, and I mean, people say, well, we don't hear the interviews anymore. You know, The Rock made a great interview. Austin made a great interview. I don't see those same interviews. I mean, I think Cena's done a wonderful job being the face of the franchise. It looks like Roman Reigns is going to be the next one. But they don't have that interview that Billy once had. But to this day, I still think Superstar should have turned babyface. And the one he should have turned against, they had done it so many times in tag teams, the babyface turned against the other babyface. Koloff and Superstar would have drawn a ton of money. One of former WWE.
Yeah, you know, that was Billy's idea. He wanted Koloff to turn on him. That was how he wanted to switch.
It was. I mean, I didn't know that, but that was made. I mean, you could see that. You have a Russian, and then you have Superstar talking, and Ivan doing the with the manager talking. You know, and I kind of think he should have done it at the time. Wasn't Ernie was Billy's manager?
Yeah.
Ernie could Graham Wizzy could have got involved in that finish and been with Koloff.
Yeah, that's
you true. Know, and he could have talked for Koloff.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate that didn't happen. Yeah.
Mark Lewin, he's 82 years old, still squats 405 pounds for reps. Mark is, I'm a pretty good swimmer, I think. The only person that could outswim me in the wrestling business was Mark Lewin. He would take me to places where, in Honolulu, when I was living there, we'd go to the Outer Islands. And I remember we went to this place in Kona, and we were walking down the road to go to the beach, and it said, and it had, you could replace the number. It said, do not swim here. And this was like in March. 8 people have drowned. And I said to Mark, are you sure you know what we're doing? He said, don't worry about it. That's for people that don't know how to swim. And Mark used to have a statement, I've wrung more water out of my socks than most people have seen. He took me out, and we went out about 300 yards, and I turned around, and I couldn't see the beach until the waves crested. And I said, how do we get back? He said, we swim like hell, we catch a wave, and when you hit the beach, have your feet down and start running. As I'm saying this, there are trees in the water floating by us, dead trees. Mark was an incredible athlete. I mean, at 50 years old, he was benching 315 for 15 reps and then going over doing 15 chins with 50 pounds around his waist. And he at the time was 53 years old. He's an exceptional athlete. He drew money as a babyface, and then he drew money as the maniac, and then on his tail end of the career, he drew money with me as the Purple Haze. And the interview you're talking about was one of the first interviews ever done, videos or vignettes ever done in wrestling. We were lucky we didn't plan it. The moon was full that night. Mark got in the water in Florida in February, and when he swam, but the great thing is, the narrative was done by King Curtis, and it just fell into place. And when Mark came out of the water, this is how naive we were back then. A lot of people thought, well, he didn't swim across from Singapore, but he had to be in the water for a long time, and he was. But we did it in one take. And Mark just knew how to draw money. But the other thing about Mark was, and I think he got this from Barnett, Barnett could spot talent early. Mark spotted talent early. And everywhere Mark went, he drew money. I mean, whether it was Calgary, people forget he went to Amarillo when Amarillo was down. Him and Curtis went to Amarillo. Him and Curtis went to Calgary, popped the territories. Then they went back after Jim sold Australia and ran New Zealand as a territory, and Hong Kong and Singapore and Malaysia. And I was lucky enough to be on that era with Mark, and it opened my eyes to that part of the world. That's why I say Ginger will, in the end, win out.
And I heard you tell that story about Mark taking out a group of bikers
at
the podcast.
We were set up. There was a promoter that bought a show that the Sheik was running, and they drew a lot of money. And the promoter, if it went over a certain amount of money, the Sheik, Sabu, myself, and Mark were supposed to get a bonus. Well, we got the bonus, but it was really reluctant. And the promoter's son said, oh, we own a nightclub. We want you to come to the nightclub. Now, everything's cool with us, no heat. I said, okay. So we went up, and then we came up the back stairs. And when we came up the back stairs, we ended up in front of the bar. So they ordered us drinks, and as they ordered us drinks, we're moving further on down the bar. So now we're where the barmaid would pick up the liquor in that little corner. So we were almost in that little corner, and then some bikers came. And they gave Mark a bunch of crap because he was the biggest. And this guy started chopping him, saying, oh, you're a big bastard, you're a big bastard. And a fight broke out. And Mark slugged the guy. And as the guy staggered, the guy went to get a knife. And Mark took a full bottle of beer and hit him in the back of the head. And the guy was out on his feet. And Mark kicked him down 2 flights of stairs. We made our exit, and as soon as we made our exit, the cops were there, so there was a setup. The old cop arrests me and Mark and puts us in the back of the car, and as we're driving, he says, in Canada, maim is a very hard crime, excuse me. And I said, well, boy, we're really screwed. So we get to the police station, and the head detective says, I'll take it from here. And the old cop says, no, I got it. He said, no, I'll take it from here. He brought us into the room and pulled down the shades. And I said, oh, what's going to happen next? And he said, you guys did me a favor. These guys beat up my brother because I arrested one of them. They were a group of motorcycle gang. He said, the guy you beat up my brother, and he got away with it. He said, you did me a favor. He said, but I want you to go back to the hotel room, pack your bags, and get over the border, and don't come back. So Mark was a legitimate tough guy, too, and not many people ever talk about it. And Mark would have a point where, I'm not putting him in Haku's category, because there's only one haiku, but Mark had that tipping point where when he tipped, there was no stopping. And he's lucky that he didn't kill the guy, because the way he hit him with the bottle and kicked him down the stairs, the guy's lucky he was alive. I was like a passive watching all this thing happen, and I'm saying to myself, there's no way we're going to get out of this. But the guy overstepped his bounds with the detective's brother, and that's how we got out.
What city would that have been in?
It was outside of Lethbridge, in between Lethbridge and Cambridge, I believe.
Ontario?
Yeah.
Oh, Cambridge, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lethbridge, it was Cambridge, and what's heading east from Cambridge?
That's a little far from where the part of Ontario where I
was. Okay.
I know where that is.
Yeah.
The Sheik had local promoters that he had worked with for years. And there was a problem with the money. And I didn't find out about it till later, but it was with the guy trying to short the Sheik. You don't do that.
No.
So when we get through Sharon, the local promoter's son comes in and says, come on, we got a bar. We're going to take you to the bar. So when we go up the stairs, we don't go on the front entrance. We go up the stairs in the back entrance. And when I'm looking up as I'm walking out, I see all these motorcycles there. So we go up there, and it's me and Mark. And we go in, and the bar is packed, and we catch on, kind of getting nudged up to the bar. And finally, we're down by the waitress station where they flip the bar, you know, and can walk out, come back. You know what I mean? That little hinge part of the bar. Do you know what I'm saying, John?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So we're down there. And this biker comes up and he goes to Mark, you're a big bastard. And starts pushing. Oh, look at the muscles on you. He starts pushing Marky. I thought, Oh boy, this is too much, man. And then we're circled by about four of them, five of them. And I looked at one of them and he had a knife hidden in his hand. I said, they're going to try to cut us pretty good. So I look at the end of the bar where the trash can is. There's a 40-ounce vodka bottle. The guy starts to come and lunge forward. I reached down, I got the bottle, and hit him across the head.
Oh, nice.
So he was in such a state of shock, he didn't even go down. He just kind of went to his knee. And he was about 6'5", so now we're the same level. I hit him over the head with it, right? So now they all back up, and as he's stumbling through the bar, and we're on, like I said, the third floor. Mark takes a full beer and hits him in the back of the head with it. Cuts his own hand, and he kicks him down the stairs. I said, we got to get out of here. Now, one of the ring crew had come with us. He said, I got a car, let's go. We didn't get down all the way to this. We got halfway down the stairs and the cops were there. It was a setup.
Big time, yeah.
Yeah. So we get an old cop and he puts us in the car. And he starts talking about MAME charges. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ. We're not going to get out of here. We got a problem. We're going to have to get lawyers and stuff. So when I get to the when me and Mark get to the police station, a younger detective, when I say younger, he's probably in his early 40s, said, I need to talk to you guys. This is serious. So we go into his office and he turns the blinds so nobody can see. He said, I know that guy you hit. He said, my brother has a motorcycle, and the guy was envious of my brother's motorcycle, forced him off the road, and they beat the shit out of him.
Whoa.
He said, I want to thank you guys. He said, but here's what you're going to do. You're going to get in your car tonight. You can call, he knew the Sheik was running the show. He said, you can call the Sheik when you're on the road. If you can call his hotel, you're gone and you're off this tour because they're going to retaliate. So me and Mark went back to our hotel room. We packed our bags in 5 minutes, threw it, and we got out of there. That's how dangerous some of those clubs were back then. It was all because they wanted to stiff the Sheik money. Well, yep. We weren't the guys that were paying or involved in the money transactions. They were just going to think me and Mark, you know, Sheik was on top of me and Mark with the tag guys, and then we were just breaking Sabu in. In fact, he was refereeing. And I was never so happy to go through customs.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two-Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two-Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two-Man Power Trip. Where the power lies, brother. College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com.
That is LegacySupps.com and use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com and use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved.